Thank you, God, for being the God that makes what we sing our testimony. The word declares that every good and perfect gift has come down from the Father, Father of light, Father of life, Father of love, Father of everything. And Lord, simply the song says that life and faith. And so, Lord, we say hallelujah to both life and favor. Because sometimes, Lord, when circumstances were seemingly unfavorable, you gave us favor. Sometimes, Lord, when life was difficult, you gave us favor. So, Lord, really what we're saying is we've got a combination going. We not only have life, but we've got favor. Somebody coined the phrase that favor ain't got nothing to do with being fair. In fact, God, we thank you that you give favor even when it ain't fair. So, Lord, in this moment of celebration of life and faith, we need a word to help us with life and faith. So, God, speak to us now from your holy hill. Let your voice come down. Fill these valleys that are dry. Level the mountains that are too high. Oh God, fill the gaps. Build bridges. Be a rock. Be a fence. So really, Lord, what we're saying is your word will do everything. We need a word. Speak to us. These next few minutes, Lord, let life change for us forever. We don't want to just be churchy. We want to be whole. So whatever we are in this room, Lord, let it be that which we are in life. Not about our titles or not about our position or clothes, but it's all about you and us. And we accept the invitation to be us and you. In the name of Jesus. Forgive us of our sins and the hardness of our heart. And we'll hear your word now, Lord, without interruption. So we'll set aside all of those things that have dogged us all the week long. Set aside finance and job issues and internal issues. We'll set everything aside so we can come into your presence with nothing between us and you. We need a word. Speak to us. Deliver us from evil. Lift us above the trials and tribulations. Bring us closer. In the name of Jesus. The redeemed of the Lord say amen. Amen. And amen. Come on, celebrate God with your neighbor. Come on, don't let your neighbor outpraise you. Come on, praise the Lord. You may not be a hand clapper, but you can wave at him. You can shake your head. You can just pat your feet or something. But get his attention somehow. Let him know you're thankful. Let him know you're thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Brothers and sisters, smartphones, tablets, pads. We found a little Hannah Montana little bag here. Not bag, a pouch, or what? Satchel, purse. I'm suspecting it's a little girl's or young lady's. Hannah Montana. Now, if it belonged to a fella, I understand, but I'm leaning toward it's a little girl's. I'm just going to kind of stay in that vein. A little Hannah Montana. There's no name or nothing in it, so I don't suspect it's an adult because there's no ID of any kind. It's a little girl's. So if your daughter, if you bought one of these for your baby and she ain't showed it to you lately, we got it. It's yours, Hannah Montana. Somebody ever asked you, did Hannah Montana go to church? You could say, yes. She was in our church last Sunday. Hannah Montana. I'm looking for the Jesus in everything. John 16, if you will, please. Amen. Just to remind you, thanks prayers Wednesday at 6 p.m. and thanks celebration services Thursday morning at 8 a.m. And pray that you'll be with us. All our college young people are with us today, Mr. Rivera and Mr. Brody there and a couple of other people of notoriety. God bless you. I'm proud to see my young men in church. I see brothers holding it down for the Lord. Jalito looked like a GQ magazine ad. Got his Farrakhan tie and the coat, you know. I see you. I got you. Player. We good. Fist bump from way over there. There we go. Ain't like you don't know you got it like that. I see the way you're walking with it. All right. That's good. I can't wear that. I can't do it. But you can. I ain't mad at you. Just wish I could be that age again. It's not going to happen, but I can wish it. And old Sean, you know, he's smooth. He's still smooth. Got a little haircut thing going. I got you. Yeah, okay. That's all right. John 16. Oh, yeah, I got it. I want to begin our consideration at verse 5 of John 16. If you have your New Living Translation or NIV, Message, whatever version, it's all right. You got your tablets and smartphones. This is what the Lord says. He said, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and none of you has asked me where I'm going. Instead, you are very sad. But it is actually best for you that I go. That I go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come. Listen to what the Lord said. He said, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the counselor won't come. Look at your neighbor and say, we need the counselor. He said, so if I do go away, he will come, because I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will, watch this now, convince the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is unbelief in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father. And you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the prince of this world has already been judged. Oh, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be representing his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. Tell your neighbor, that's a blessing. All that the Father has is mine. This is what I mean when I say that the Spirit will reveal to you whatever he receives from me. God bless you. You may be seated. Again, I want to lift up just a couple of verses for the sake of preaching. Ushers, you can sit down. God bless you. Thank you. Says that there is much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be representing his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. All that the Father has is mine. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he has received from me. Look at your neighbor, if you don't mind, for a few minutes. It's 20 minutes after 12, and some of you have 1 o'clock football on your mind. But would you do me a little favor? Just kind of smile, hook up a little smile on your face. Wake your neighbor up if they're sleeping. How they can sleep through all that praise, I don't know. But if you'll just look at them, smile first, please. You are my sunshine. You make me happy. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. But smile and say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach. Let him use you. Amen. Let him use you. Here it is, children. All of us like information. All of us like to know stuff. In fact, some of us like to know so much we have been given the identifier of being nosy. Always want know stuff. All up in everybody's Kool-Aid. You know more about other folk business than you know about your own. We like to know stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, he already got you. He want know stuff. And there are too many people really that don't like to know stuff. There aren't many. There are very few people that would even pretend to not be interested, but oftentimes we suffer with a case of the can't help it. How many of you have ever tried not to look and look anyway? Tried not to hear, but hear anyway. And so the reality is what Jesus says bears much relevance even in the modern church. There are people in this room that are very intelligent, and there are people in this room that pretend to be very intelligent. Now, this is not an indictment. This is just an awareness. And so don't get offended and don't leave here today and tell anybody that he called me ignorant because I didn't call your name. The only way folk gonna know that is if you say that. What I'm saying to you is a reality that exists in the common thread of humanity. There are those of us who are somewhat smarter than other people because we've intelligently investigated to know more. Some of us are inquisitive to the point of knowledge and information, but some of us are inquisitive to the point of destruction and gossip. Jesus says that the counselor is coming to talk to y'all, so that you will no longer dwell in ignorance, but you'll get to know me better. There is, without question, a desire not only to know, but to be known. Some of us don't wait for people to introduce themselves to us. We introduce ourselves to them. Have you ever met people who don't mind telling you everything about themselves and you didn't ask them nothing? You ever been around them folk that you just start talking to them, then they want to show you their grandchildren and tell you what school they go to and where they work at and they married and all that kind of stuff. And you sitting there looking at them and go, who in the world is this? For some of us, social hour is a lifetime. Some of us are not as open to that. So what we oftentimes do is we do like Marvin Gaye. We go to the party and just stand around. And the reality is what Jesus says to us really ought to kind of perk our attention in the learning and living of Christian life. Let me help you to understand, beloved of God. I'm almost convinced that the reason about 96% of y'all are here is because you have some interest in Christian life. The other 4% of you are hanging out with folk who didn't have no other thing to do but go to church. And because you didn't want to start no trouble. 4% of us are not interested in anything I'm going to say for the next 25 minutes. 96% of you, and then there's another percentage of the 96% that are going to get disconnected because I say something you don't like in the next 20 minutes. Jesus says it is important for us to engage in the conversation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says my departure is divine, but also developmental for you. And therefore, I'll do it not because I want to leave you, but because leaving you is going to bless you. Some of us miss that. He said, listen, I can't stay with you, and it ain't because I don't want to stay, but it is beneficial for you that I go. Because when I go, life for you is really going to get better. Jesus said at another time in another setting, he said, listen, whatever you've seen me do, if you paid any attention to it, that which you've seen me do, you will do greater. And the reason you'll do greater is because the Holy Spirit is going to come. There's me losing 96% is going down to 83%. Because a lot of us don't care nothing about what the Holy Spirit is doing. That quiet you hear is reality. Most of us in the church are not even in the church deep like that. We're not into that Holy Ghost stuff because we don't want you laying hands and we don't want the gift of tongues and we don't want prophecy. All we want is profit and leave me alone. I come because I want to and don't be bothering me. I don't want to get up in that bell ringing. I don't want to do no outreach. I don't want. No. Those are the works of the Holy Spirit. The church is not a stagnant church. The church is an impact church. If you look at Jesus' life, you'll realize everywhere Jesus went, he shook up the place. We ain't done no shaking in a while. Why? Because we have stymied the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, listen, the church must look like me because I am the church. Amen. How many of you have been told you look just like somebody? And immediately you start thinking about that person's life. Oh, you just like your daddy. And then you think about what your daddy do. Oh, you the spitting image of your mother. You think about your mother. Can I ask you, when was the last time anybody said you look just like Jesus? You walk like Jesus. Y'all don't want to be my friend. You talk like Jesus. You sing like Jesus. You got a spirit about you that's unlike it. Y'all don't want to talk to me now. The Bible says, in him we live, move, and have our existence. The Bible says, let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus. You ought to talk like him and walk like him and sound like him. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You ought to be like Jesus. Because he is. And because he is, you are. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. Be one with us. So he reminds them, he said, listen, I've got to go. He said, but here's what's going to happen. There's a lot of stuff I want to talk to y'all about. But you can't handle it. Nudge your neighbor and say, you can't handle it like that. You ain't deep enough for that. You ain't been around long enough. You can't handle it. And listen, notice none of them fired back at him and say, oh, yes, we can. He said, you're not ready yet. But then he gives them an encouragement immediately by saying, but if you stick with the program, right in the text, he said, when the Spirit comes. Now, here it is. We'll move along quickly. You do know that the Spirit has already come. Some of y'all nodding your head. Some of y'all scratching your brow. I said, you do know. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor. you do know that the Spirit has already come. Wait a minute. There should have been a celebratory praise right there. I mean, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Dumas of God, it's already here. In other words, we should be walking around looking at each other saying, we got it like that. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, we got it like that. We got it bad to the bone. We got the hookup. We jazz it like that. Why? Because we've got the Holy Spirit working in us. Okay, we're down to 76.2%. Here's the reality. The modern church, one of the tragedies, I'm going to hurry along here, Wanda. The modern tragedy of the modern church is that we don't know what we got. Thank you. I thank you, Deacon Walker. I see that. I said that the modern tragedy of the modern church is we don't know what we got. We don't need a bigger building. We don't need more parking places. We need more money. I'll give that one. But we don't realize that each and every one of you, under the sound of my voice, has what you need because you got what you got from God. God ain't going to cheat none of y'all. You don't have to envy folk. You don't have to be turning up your nose and holding your breath around folk. You got it like that. Why? Because he gave it like that. God said, I'll deny you no good thing. And I always give my best stuff. Here it is. He said that the modern church doesn't realize that. He reminds us. Well, he doesn't say it, but I'm saying the modern church doesn't realize because the revealing fact for us is that we gather more under social influence than spiritual influence. We dress socially. Amen. We dress socially because when we come in, we want to be seen. Here it is. Problem I have is a whole lot of y'all that's being seen ain't being heard. Not heard for your much talking, but for your life in Christ Jesus. We come in, we make sure our hair is fried, dyed, and thrown to the side. We make sure that we got the right rouge and lipstick. And fellas, I ain't gonna leave you out. We pimping it hard as we can. And we sit up in the church like we're too dignified to even wave back at God or to put ourselves in a position of worship. We don't even want to stand up and just lift our hands. But if we go to a concert, we and hollering and running. We come out of there and lost our voice, done sweat out our perm. We done got soaking wet, but we come to church, we so dignified that we miss worshiping God who is everything, anything, and all things. But you got it like that. And here's what's so wonderful about God. He don't bust you upside your head for not doing it. How many of you ever got bust upside the head because you didn't say thank you? Or didn't respond to mama's kindness or daddy's kindness in the right way? They said, come here, I'll bust you upside your head. I just gave you $100 and you're going to look at me. You know what I'm talking about. That's why I became Ebenezer Scrooge. Pouring my best gifts out. And people look at me 2 days after Christmas, they won't even speak to me. No, I'm just kidding. Here it is. Jesus says, you are the church of me. And in order to be an effective church, you've got to know me. Jesus, listen, no church is impressing God because of chandelier. God don't care about PowerPoint. God don't care about sound system. God don't care about carpet or pew. You like that stuff. Y'all need, listen, some of y'all ain't going to sit on no pew that ain't cushioned. You don't want to be in a church without carpet. And you consider that, my God, we don't even have carpet. We don't have, do you have Jesus? Do you have Holy Ghost life?
So if you look past all that stuff, you get to it. People pass our church because of where it's located. Jesus is everywhere. I've had people say that to me, oh, you over there. Yeah, I am. And so is Jesus. The earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So he said, I got to hurry. He said, listen, please understand that there are some things that you don't recognize yet. Isaiah reminds us, he said, listen, what we must do is reason together. Nudge your name and say, let me help you. See, if you let him use you, you can be a blessing to everybody. Isaiah says, come, let us reason together. Let's talk this church thing out. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Don't say anything to me. But how many of you really legitimately now, honestly, don't fool me now. You don't have to say nothing. Just work this thing out in yourself. But how many of you, when you leave here, even talk about church? Even talk about Jesus? Really, how many of you do the Deuteronomy thing when you sit down, when you come in and go out? I mean, other than talking about me and how long I took and all that kind of stuff. But I'm saying, how many of you really are teaching your children how to live life in Christ Jesus? How many of you really say to your wives and husbands, you know, let's pray together. Let's hold hands and let's, how many of you really just minister to your family? And y'all ain't talking to me and I told you not to. But the reality is, Isaiah says, we really need to be talking this God thing up to such a fervent pitch that it is our whole life. Reminds us, he said, listen, we need to wake up. The house of God need to wake up. I told you last Sunday, Deacon Anderson, we need to do a reality check. Because either you is or either you ain't. Sorry, Mr. Scott. You got to understand that the house of God is where it's going to start. It ain't going to start in the juke joint. It ain't going to start down at Harpo's place. Judgment going to start right here. And some of us, down to 46.2%. Some of us in trouble because we've chosen to neglect the life of holiness. Oh. Go on and nudge it to, here you go. Here you go. That boy finna do it again. Yes, sir, because the early church didn't have a whole lot of what we got. But what they had was the Holy Spirit operating. They didn't govern the Holy Spirit by it don't take all that. They didn't try to cut the service off. When the Holy Spirit moved, they moved just like that. Some of us are so sophisticated, so sophomoric, that even when the Holy Ghost tap up on the shoulder, we look the other way. Old church said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Some of y'all ain't said nothing about God in so long that you can't spell it right. Old church didn't have what we got. Chandeliers, central heat and air, but they had the Holy Spirit, and they operated in it. That's how they fed folk. That's how they helped folk. That's why their worship services were so tiring. And listen, you left church tired back in the old day. Folk came out in the coming, whoo, Lord, whoo. Ooh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You didn't get to wear the same suit next Sunday because it was soaking wet. Everybody had handkerchief back then. Everybody had a little sweat experience. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was moving. We sang stuff like, I feel your spirit. We meant that. It's in my head, it's in my feet. It's all you have to connect. And many of us won't let him use you. You ain't that sophisticated, baby. You don't make that much money a year. You ain't living in a house that big that you can't let him connect. You need the Holy Spirit. You hear me? Isaiah said, we really need to work this thing out. I'm about finished. He said, listen, the church is me. And the absolutes are in the Holy Spirit. It's not political influence, not social status, not bank accounts. The absolutes are in the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said, Deacon Walker, is y'all better tighten up and get this. He said, because he's going to reveal me. A whole lot of folk don't know Jesus. They heard of him. Sunday school lesson back when they did go, or maybe in an Easter program or something. Some of us only come them certain times of the year. If I were to ask the question today, how many of you have not missed church in a month of Sundays? Not everybody could raise the hand. Some folk wouldn't even care that they can't raise the hand. Some of us, it's not a bother for us not to be connected. Some of us like our casual relationship with God, and we have created a theology that says it's in my heart. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You know, I don't know what Bible y'all reading all that stuff out of. I hadn't read that Bible that said you don't have to tithe and you don't have to go to church and you don't have to do this. Now, I don't know that Bible. The God I know requires faithfulness. 39.1%. The God I know requires faithfulness. And faithfulness means you do what he said, not what is comfortable or convenient to the constituency of your common life. Your testimony should be, well, my friend don't go every Sunday, and she blessed. Did you really just say that to me? When you testified recently that he was your all in all? Some of us don't have that problem either because we don't talk about God like that. So he said, well, the church needs the Holy Spirit. So the stirring question is, how could they operate like they did then and we fail to operate like that now? Because we all can hear the testimonies throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia and throughout the constituency of our communities that the church ain't like it used to be. Well, whose fault is that? Can I tell you whose fault it is? Bible says, I'm about finished, quarter till. Bible says that the operational church, the functional church, the faith-driven church, the Follow Me Jesus church, in the book of Acts was adding to their numbers daily. Just now, and I'll be through here in a minute. The Bible says that the operational church, the functional church, the faithful church, the Follow Me Jesus church, was adding to their numbers daily. The Bible says that the functional, operational, faithful, Follow Me Jesus church was adding to their numbers daily. Now, I don't know about y'all, but Sunday only ain't daily. Thursday ain't daily. Leroy, if you choose to want to start some real trouble around here, start having daily church. And see what happens even among the so-called faithful. Now, Reverend, I'm with you for early morning and 11 o'clock, but we're going to do this how many days a week? Can I tell you that folk dying and going to hell daily? Can I tell you that folk are in the struggle and fight of their life daily? Can I tell you that people are hungry and naked daily? Can I tell you that the enemy, your adversary, the devil, roaming like a lion, is operating faithful, functional, daily? And we just want to pump it up on Sunday, maybe, and think we're going to live God-filled lives on an hour and 45 minutes worth of if you want to participate, church? Ain't gonna happen. Bible says that the church understood breaking down in order to break forth. The word says we have the power to tear down strongholds. Because unless you tear it down, you can't go forward. Look at your name and say, break it down to break forth. Until you get out of the prison of your sins, you can't move into the palace of your sanctification. That's good preaching. Until you come out of one negative thing, you can't progress into the positive thing. The Bible said that old things have to pass away. Okay. Some of us don't want to talk back to me. The early church had that power because they yield themselves totally to the Holy Spirit running things. Tell your neighbor, you don't run nothing. No, not nothing, nothing. You listen, all you do is run your mouth, because until God is in it, it ain't nothing. We don't listen. I don't care how long you've been a tenured deacon. I don't care how long you've been preaching. I don't care how long you had a title. Unless you have yielded yourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, you run nothing. That's why we can walk in and out of churches like we walk in and out of a Walmart or a Kroger. That's why we can come sometime and not come other time. That's why we can baptize your child on Sunday and you don't come back the next Sunday. That's why we can't lift up tithe and offering, because all we're doing is running based on human power. But there is no power like Holy Spirit power. That's why the Bible says, if God be for us, he's more. That's why the church had power. Because they understood yielding to God. I don't want to hear your opinion. We want to hear your obedience. Y'all don't like me now. Nobody want to hear what you think. We want to hear what you heard. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, Sister Anderson, one of my favorite opening introductions of any conversation that anybody might have with me will start like this: having been led of the Lord. That's what Jesus says right in the text. He said he's going to present what I said, not his own ideas. He's going to tell you what I told him. Church is only going to grow by breaking down and breaking forth. I'll be finished here quickly. He says, understand that the power is not of your own power, but it is a power that is rooted both wholly and holistically, if you will, in the history and the totality of who God is. It is not a power that God makes up based on circumstance or situation. It is a consistent power that does not ebb nor flow. It is not relegated by the weather outside. Some of us ain't coming to church unless the weather just right. Listen, all you got to do is let it rain a little bit. Ain't going to church. It ain't raining yet, but it looks like it's going to rain. But unless you got a convertible, you can make it. And you got a convertible, we got a van. You understand what I'm saying? And I mean, all of us kind of have a little finickiness about us about something, but it can't be finicky about God. I mean, listen, I'm not going to a football game if it's real cold. I told Brother Beverly yesterday, I said, I know it's a little cold up there. He said, yeah, yeah. But see, if it's cold, I ain't going to the football game. Much I like my team. I'm not sitting out there in the cold. Ain't that much hot chocolate in the world. The hand warmers don't last that long. I'm just going to knock. I'm home. I chop from the house. If it's raining, certain things I'm not going to do. I'm not going to drive certain cars when it's raining. But when it comes to God, ain't no compromise there. If I don't care if it's raining cats and dogs. Too bad for them. I'm going to dodge cats and dogs to get to the house of God. I'm not canceling no worship service because it's snowing. They got plows for that. You see y'all getting quiet. Y'all say he's setting us up because when it snows, we're going to have church. That's what he's saying. Here it is. He said the power of God. He said the power of God is the same. I'm not going to change it. He said when it comes, it's not going to be about me representing only me, but it's about me representing my Father who is interested in you so that you can be like us. Here it is. If you haven't changed by now, you need to stop playing. The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Spirit is here. The power of God is here. And so what he says to us is when he comes, which we know he has come, tell your name, he's already come. He said, now watch this. When you get to the book of Acts, we're going now. We're going to wind it up. He said, when you get to the book of Acts, please understand that the language of the church has changed because the life of the church has changed. In other words, he said, listen, you will receive power. When the Holy, watch this now. Now remember in John 16, I feel my help coming here, Kirk. He said in John 16, he said, listen, you're going to receive this. It's going to happen. But in the book of Acts, because the life of the church is now becoming vibrant and vital, he said, listen, when it has come upon you, he said, listen, each one of you is going to receive from God that which is necessary that you become what workers in the kingdom of God. Everybody in the room is going to be endowed with the power of the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to be jealous of your neighbor. You ain't got to roll your eyes. You ain't got to hold your breath. He said, because when he comes, and you do know that the Holy Ghost has come. And so he said, listen, now that the Holy Ghost has come, good God, I feel it now. He said, now that you got it, you got to do something with it. Look at the name, tell him, we can't lose with the stuff we use. What? Watch this now. He said, because when he comes, he is going to come once to convince you. He's going to help you to understand that, baby, you got it like that. He's going to come to convince you that you can do all things through Christ, because Christ is all things. He's going to come not only to convince you, but to convert you from your former lifestyle. Look at your name and say, child, if you'd have known me back then. Fellows, you use another word. He said, listen, you do understand that when the Holy Spirit comes, he convicts and convinces. But then he says, watch this now in the text. He said, you're going to be converted through divine conversation. He said, because what the Holy Spirit is going to do, Sister Anderson, is tell you what I told him, because he's been listening to me. Look at your name and say, who you listen to will affect your life. Yeah. He said, listen, he's been listening. He's going to tell you what he has heard. And then Paul reminded the church in Rome. He said, listen, you've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, you got to work on your head, baby. You got to listen. What that songwriter said, didn't I blow your mind this time? Because when you get into folk head, it ain't long before you get to their heart. And he said, listen, if you will be converted by these divine conversations, you will be convinced of God. And when you become convinced of God, you become a co-laborer with God. Listen, that's why the church in the old day would testify that the works I've done are going to speak for me. Why? Because I know I've been serving the Lord. That's why the church would declare that serving the Lord is going to pay off after a while. Look at your name and say, let him use you. Because when the Lord begins to use you, he's going to change the way you walk. He'll change the way you talk. He's going to change your rising up and your laying down. He's going to change the way you live. And when God begins to use you, you'll find no problem giving the praise. That's why the writer declared, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Look at your neighbors and neighbor. If you're not of the praising kind, you might ought to get off of my pew, because I'm getting ready to bless the Lord. I'm getting ready to lift up his name. I'm getting ready to let the Holy Ghost run up and down my aisle. I need the Holy Ghost all in my hand. I feel it in my legs. I feel it in my hips. I feel it in my back. I feel God moving on me. Is there anybody here right now that feels the Lord kind of moving on you? Look at your name and say, neighbor, I recognize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I just got one question. Is there anybody here that know the Lord's all right? Ain't God all right? Aren't you glad now that the work of God is being manifest in you? Look at your name and say, oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. God is my rock and my salvation. He's my strong tower. He's my all in all. Anybody know he's my all in all? Can you tell God thank you? Tell God thank you. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, he's worthy. I said he's worthy of all your praise. Can you praise him right now? Can you praise him in your trouble? Praise him in your heartache. Praise him in your poverty. Praise him in your disappointment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Not only does he convict, not only are we convinced, not only have we become co-laborers, but the Bible declares it will be completed. He who begun a good work in you will carry it to the day of completion. Tell your neighbor, it ain't over yet. I'm still working. I'm still laboring. But God's going to finish this. Just, I feel my Michael Jackson ministry coming. The question was asked, do you want to be starting something? But I believe the Lord is asking somebody today, you want to be starting something? Because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the essence of God will carry it. You notice that word, Deacon Anderson? He said he's going to carry it. You don't even have to worry about carrying it. All you got to do is follow along. How many of y'all ever had to have somebody carry something for you? Got a little heavy, you got a little tired. But the Holy Spirit of God is going to carry it. I hear the Lord saying, I got this. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. Had not entered into the hearts of any. Look at your name, tell me, I told you, you don't know everything. No mind has conceived what God has prepared. Sandra, that's why the Bible said, therefore laid up for me. Tell your neighbor, there's some stuff waiting on you. You'd be foolish not to go after it. Tell them, you'd be foolish not to go after it. There's some stuff with your name on it. There's ministry with your name on it. There's fellowship with your name on it. There's a breakthrough with your name on it. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. It's waiting on you. Some of y'all remember the old school layaway system. You put your money down and you pay a little every week. And out by December the 15th, you make that last payment. It's waiting on you. And some of you remember rain checks. They've run out of stuff. And you go in there and they said, we're going to honor it. We're going to give you a rain check. We'll call you when it comes in, when we get some more, when we replenish the stock. Well, I'm here to tell you, got some good news today. Some of you need to lay claim to your rain checks. There's some stuff you've been praying for, and there's some things you've been waiting for. God is saying to you today, let me use you. It's my season to be blessed. God made me a promise. I passed my test. Give your neighbor a high five. Tell him, I passed my test. It's my season. Holy Ghost wants to instruct me. Having heard from the Lord, I feel like doing something. Some of you have dreams and visions, things you've desired of God. Let him use you. Jesus said he's going to talk to you like me and him been talking. That's why grandma said just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. Tell your neighbor, it's time for my all rights to come. It's time for my all rights to come. It's time for my all rights to come. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm ready for another season. Let's stand on our feet together. We're going home. Let me help you. Let me help you because I love you. You're not too far away that he can't bring you in. You're not too corrupt that he can't correct bad behavior. Paul reminds the church, he said, listen, in the last trumpet, in the twinkling of an eye, the corrupt shall put on incorruption. Nudge your neighbor and say, that's a good change right there. That's the mortal, that's us, shall put on immortality. Look at another name and tell him, I told you I was going to live forever. Yes, sir. Because the dead in Christ don't die forever. Oh, yeah, these old bodies going to get old and feeble and we're going to have to leave here. But I promise you, at least on my part, that we'll see each other again. I'm going to keep my hand in the wine and chain. I've come too far to turn back now. I'm not like Hansel and Gretel. I didn't leave no breadcrumbs because I didn't plan on going back that way. How many ain't planning on going back that way? Amen. Look at the neighbors. I'm not going back that way. I'm walking on a one-way street now. Street called straight to the glory of God. Let him use you today. If you've not given your life over to the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, Let God talk to you because the Spirit has already come. We need to stop sitting around on the pews of do-nothingness like we waiting on something else. We got everything we need right now. Amen. We got it like that. Yeah, we got it like that. We's got it going on. We's bad to the bone already. We just ain't using what we got. We keep minimizing what ought to be maximized. And I'm telling you today, the manifestations of God are in this room. It's in your life, and your life, and your life. Yes, it is. Some of y'all standing there hoping, don't point at me, don't point at me. Yes, I am. It's in your life. Bible said, then a child shall lead them. It's in your life. You didn't come this far for nothing. I mean, you're smart. You ain't that smart. There's smarter folk than you. Amen. Don't get mad at them. Learn what they learn. It's in your life. Yeah. You, Mr. Rivera, Pimp Daddy. It's in your life, Mr. Beverly. Doesn't matter whether you belong to Brookville, you're in the body of Christ down yonder. It's in your life. And God is willing to do anything you ask him to. Let him use you. Not too old, not too tired. When you get older and tired, you just don't have to do as much, but do what you do. Yeah, you still got gifts and talents and abilities. Every one of you, all of us. Sometimes you fail to realize that even when you're not doing, you're doing, because people are looking at you. Some of you are just somebody's sunshine. You're just somebody's joy. You don't have to do nothing spectacular. Look at your name and say, just be you. Some of y'all are some mighty good youths. Yeah. There's talent in this church. And we need to stop making excuses. All right, Reverend, I would, but next time somebody start out that, I would, but do like this. I dare you to finish that sentence. Holy Ghost all over you. Talking about, I would, but I can't. I just don't have that kind of. Yes, you do. Hang out with me a while. I'll show you how this thing works. That's how we live and learn. We learn from people letting us hang out with them. That's how we learn how to do stuff. Hanging out with folk. But hang out with good folk, good church folk. Tell your neighbor, you need some good church folk. They ain't got no, this kind of ministry ain't at the Elks. Phase 2 don't do this kind of stuff. Need some good church folk. So you can learn and live Christ Jesus. The Elks going to go out of business one day. And then phase 2 going to become phase 3 or something. I don't know. But Jesus going to be around. Yeah, he's going to be around. Not just for Christmas and Easter. Every day is Jesus. Let him use you. Today, if you're in here and you're not giving your life to Christ, I know it's time for y'all to go. If you've not given your life to Christ, I want to invite you to come right now. Just tell your neighbor, excuse me, I really need this. I want God to use me. I'm not calling you to preach, not calling you to be a deacon or nothing like that. I'm just saying that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available in all of you. No matter how young you are, no matter how seasoned you are, I'm telling you, God is doing stuff in y'all. I took your prayer requests, and that's why I had the vision between me and you. He'll understand. Tell him. And, but I believe God because I read what you prayed. I believe God. And that's how I talk to God. I said, Lord, this is what your daughter, this is what your son is asking of you. Now, God, what is your answer to them? You know, God always gives answers. He never asks questions. Not like that. I mean, you know what I'm saying. God is the answer God. Read your Bible. It says he hears and answers. God don't ask you why you praying this. God answers what you pray. Why are you asking me for that? No, that's not God. He hears and answers prayer. So trust him today. I know y'all ready to go. I feel your readiness. I'm trying to help you. Because I believe you need help. I'm not saying you're pathetic and incompetent or anything like that. I'm saying, listen, if you got it good, wouldn't you like it gooder? I'm sorry. I mean, Sister Davis, I forget, you're an educator, Mrs. McKenzie. She'll probably call me before the Board of Education on that one. But I mean, come on, I mean, it's all right. Nudge your name and say, I got it all right. It's. But I want it all righter. Better than that. That's why I'm going to preach that sermon better than that. Because that's how you can have it. I mean, you know, you're talented. You got gifts and abilities. But there's more. But James Cleveland said, I ain't no ways tired. He brought me this far. Not to leave me, but to use me some more. So if you've not given your life to Christ, come on very quickly. It's right past 1. I got to let y'all go. Let's go. Beginning next year, all 15-minute sermons. Next year. All 15-minute sermons. Trust me. But right now, if you don't come, I'm going to have to hold this thing up a little bit. I mean, come on, don't walk out of here today. All I'm saying is don't walk out of here today without the connection. Yeah, I try to make y'all laugh a little bit and that kind of stuff. But you need the connection. You got to be connected. And before connection, you got to be convinced. That man preaching about a God I don't know. That man said some things today that I need. That's connecting. That's being convinced to get connected. I need that. How many of y'all watch commercials on TV and have been convinced by the commercial that you need that? That's what the commercial is. It's to convince you that the quality of your life is only going to be better with the Vegematic. How many of y'all bought the Vegematic? Hundreds of Julian fries. What is a Julian fry? Remember that commercial with the little Vegematic thing? Slice onions without crying. That's part of slicing onion. You got to have that. No good cook that won't slice onions and cry can't cook for me. You ain't never sliced an onion and cried, I don't want none of your food. You ain't got some nicks on your finger and stuff like that. You ain't been burned by a pot without a handle. Don't talk to me. If you ain't flopped a couple of cakes, I ain't going to eat your one lucky cake. You got to mess up a few before you make a good one. All right, then. That's why sin leads us to God. We know we done messed up a few. So now we need a good one. Want to be a winner today. I want to be a winner. Anybody need a transformation today? That's the God of your salvation. I'm convinced that you can be saved. If you don't believe in you, I believe in you for you till you can believe better. Would you come today? If there is none, there are not any persons who desire to. If all of you have got your life in Christ Jesus, if you're already saved and you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm not asking you about going to church. I'm saying if you already have Jesus Christ as Lord in your life, that's a good thing. I will say this to you. If you need restitution, restoration, reconciliation, you need to be reconnected, we invite you to come and let us help you with that just through prayer. Nobody's going to do anything to you. I'm just going to pray with you that prayer that, Lord, this your son or daughter has decided today to be reconnected. They've fallen away. But, Lord, today was a day when the realization hit home. I need you, Lord. I've been running around without you. I've been fooling myself, not even convincing myself because I knew better. But I just want to come back to you, Lord, today. I'll do it publicly because I've done it privately. I'm simply saying to you, God, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is life. You need to be reconnected today. Why don't you come? Nobody's going to bother you, but you ought to come. Don't leave today without that certainty. The old church would say sometimes, I guess to scare us, if you died this afternoon, would you wake up with Jesus? I ain't scared like that no more, and I don't try to scare people. But I mean, no man knows the day nor the hour, not only of the Lord's return, but of our own departure. Because some will be alive when he comes. Would you come now? Lastly, I want to say, if you're looking for a church home, you don't have a relationship solid in anybody's church, in any Christian church, our doors are open to you for Christian discipleship. We really believe that we can make disciples using the formula of God to teach you and to actively seek after you and to build on spiritual principles. We're not trying to hocus pocus you. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to open no business. I'm not going to tell you that all your bills are going to get paid. I'm not going to tell you that you'll never get sick another day in your life. What I will tell you is that the Word of God works. In everything, it works. And so if it is the will of God that you open a business, more power to you. Please give me a 20% discount when I shop at your place. If it is the will of God that you be healed, please remember to come and testify that you were sick, but you're well. If you should win $1 million today, please remember that it is God's money you won. Give God back a portion. Please make it payable to Brookville Church to the glory of God. I'm just trying to tell you that you need a church home. Don't leave here today. Now, I come to y'all church every Sunday. I've had people walk up to me in the store. I belong to your church. Okay. And then I walk about two steps and go, who in the world? Come on, make it official. Don't just hang around. Get in there. Put your hand on your neighbor's back and say, get in there. Get on in there. Amen. Heads are bowed. Put your request on your balcony. Those things you need God to do. Put that at the forefront of your thinking right now. I want you to stay independent today. I'm not going to ask you to grab anybody's hand. I want you to Stand before God on your own strength today. For your sons or your daughters, your husband, your wife, mom-in-law, daddy-in-law, cousins, friends, family. Some of your family is going to be traveling. Put that on the balcony of your prayers today. That God give them traveling mercies. Dangerous highways. Highways. Pray for our friends. Put it on the balcony of your mind. Our friends, our brothers and sisters in Buffalo and upper Midwest and the Northeast. Oh, my God, so much snow. Now floods are going to be coming. It falls under the old principle. If it ain't one thing, it's another. But put them on your mind today. Somebody mentioned today that most of the time we cannot fathom that much snow. We couldn't. It doesn't even make sense to us to think of 7-foot snow drifts. But Lord, they're in the fight of their lives. The roof of the house may collapse. Power may go out. That's the answer, my brother. Lord, have mercy. Pray that Lord would have mercy. There, but for the grace of God, could have been us. So God, today, as we have pushed all of the furniture out of the way and moved to the forefront of our thinking, our sons and our daughters, our families, our friends, our brothers and sisters, not known by name, but loved in the spirit in the Northeast, are battling. Snow is coming, massive amounts and treacherous to travel. They cannot go in nor come out. Senior citizens have been cut off. It's cold in the house. Food is running low. The power is going out. We cannot warm ourselves. We pray for our brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter if they're white or black, Hispanic, Jewish. Doesn't matter. Bless them, Lord. Yes, Lord, melt the snow, but let it melt slowly, Lord, if thy will be so. Let the power remain fluid, Lord. Let the rescuers not become tired, but keep on pressing till every life is accounted for. Oh God, let us remember that though we may have a little light rain, what have we to complain about? It's a little cold, but that's the season. So God, we pray for them, and we pray, God, for all of your children. In this room, there are sickness. There's some financial concerns. There's some relationship indifferences. There's some uncertainty. Somebody's got to go to court. Somebody's got that follow-up appointment. Some of us can't remember like we used to remember. Some of us have secret pain that we don't want to tell nobody. Some of us are afraid to go home for the battles that rage. The old car ain't running like it used to, and it won't be long before we're going to have to go back to finance another one. We need your favor, Lord. Some of us, Lord, are facing the penalties of our sin. For we have done now, Lord, and we must face the reality. So would you again forgive us of our sins? And let us find favor with man. For there are those who have power over our lives, but not like you, Lord. So would you soften the hearts of those who will bang the gavel or turn the key on the doors that lock behind us? Would you soften the hearts of wardens and prison guards? Soften the hearts of debt collectors? Soften the hearts of those who lay in wait to harm us? That young lady was shot the other day by her husband. A son turned on his grandmother. Another child intentionally set his sibling on fire. Soften the hearts of people we trust who now desire to hurt us. Soften their hearts. Heal your land, Father. If my people will call by my name, would but humble themselves and pray. Then, Lord, you promise to hear from heaven. And you do it. Thy will be done in the lives of all your children. Thank you, God, today. And we offer prayers of traveling mercy for all of our family and friends, even those who are going to show up unannounced. Guide them over the highways and interstates, little back roads and slick roads and rainy, wet roads. Govern their travel, Lord. And when they arrive safely, Lord, we'll kiss each other on the face and hug one another. And let our fellowship times be good. Let there be no infighting or disagreements. We didn't come together to fall out. We came together to be together. So let us peacefully abide. And where we bring our peace, let our peace also remain, and let peace go with us. We bless your name. The redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen.